Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
So how many of you guys leave your lights up for as long as you can? Anybody? Does anybody still have their Christmas decorations up? Anyone? I know I like to try to keep mine up as long as I can, kind of like the people with those lights that keep them up year round. But my husband, you know, he's on the other side of the coin. He would take them down the night of Christmas if he could. He's like, want to get done with it? We're done with that. Let's move on. You know, I have a favorite Christmas decoration that I actually put out every year. I love it. It's the Christmas nativity. Does anybody out there have a Christmas nativity that they love? You just want to keep it out year round, right? So one year I was putting out that Christmas nativity, and our Christmas nativity, it's packed away. Maybe it's like yours. Each figurine has its own styrofoam box just to be very careful with those precious figurines so that they don't break at any time. So one time I was getting it out for one Christmas season, and when I did, I got every piece right where I wanted, and when I went to grab Joseph, he slipped out of my hand. He fell, his head cracked off, and rolled across the floor. So have you ever had one of those moments where you look around to see if anybody saw what you just did? So I look around and nobody saw what had just happened. So like the MacGyver that I think I am, I run to the junk drawer, grab the super glue, and I glue his head back on, place him where I need him, which is on the table that's under our TV. Bada bing, bada boom, problem solved. So like I said, my husband, he likes to take Christmas down early, and for me, I like to leave it up. So one year, he went on that same year on a business trip, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to surprise him. You know, I can compromise. So 2 weeks after Christmas, that's early to me, I thought, I'm going to pack it up, pack it away. And so I did, and carefully, each part of that nativity scene, packed it away until I got to Joseph. And I grabbed Joseph, and he wouldn't budge. I kid you not. Joseph was stuck. He was stuck there and he would not budge. So I was like, oh, man. I thought nobody was going to be the wiser of what had happened, that I dropped Joseph, that his head cracked off and rolled across the floor. So my husband, he gets home and he's like, wow, honey, like the place looks great. I can't believe you packed everything away. And then he looks and he sees Joseph on the table that's under our TV. And he kind of looks at me, he says, he's thinking that there's going to be, of course, some kind of biblical analogy that I want to share with him or something. I could have played it off like that, right? Or he's like, maybe Joseph is like her favorite biblical character and I didn't know about that. So he goes over to grab Joseph to talk about Joseph, and he grabs Joseph and the whole table, he picks everything up. Joseph is stuck. 5 years now, Joseph. Poor Joseph. He's been stuck on our table, sitting under. He gets so lonely when it's not the Christmas season. He's just standing there tall all by himself until the Christmas season rolls around and all of his friends get to join him again. He's stuck on our table. I kid you not. There are people in our life group. They're here right now. They can attest to that. I cannot make this step up, guys. They have come over with the hammers and hacksaws and solvents and everything to try to see if they can. It's almost a challenge now. Who can get Joseph unstuck? Nobody. 5 years he's been stuck on that table under our TV. It got me to thinking, you know, in this new year, how many of us have set resolutions in this past year? And coming into the new year, we set resolution year after year, only to break them after the first 2 months. You know, statistics say that all of us, by the end of the year, except for a small, minute percentage, are going to break our New Year's resolutions. We become stuck, just like poor Joseph, in our old ways, in our old patterns, in our old behavior. But I believe that God wants something new for us in this new year. As a matter of fact, I believe he wants a new you in this new year. Take a look at our opening verse. It's going to be found in 1 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. So that means if you've said yes to Jesus, then you are a new creation. And I believe that resolutions, see, setting goals, there's nothing bad about setting goals. I'm not trying to say that at all. The Bible talks a lot about setting goals. That's a good thing. What I'm saying is, year after year, if we keep setting those same resolutions, then something's got to change. We need to become unstuck and not stuck like poor Joseph on that table under our TV. 5 years, guys. He's stuck. I think that in this new year, that the new you in this new year, that God wants to get us unstuck from our old ways. He wants to be living a life that is flourishing. He wants to live out a life as if we are a new creation, because we are a new creation. So I think if we begin in this new year, instead of setting a resolution, which is really all about behavior modifications, right? I mean, we know what the main resolutions usually are. Let's eat healthier. Let's start exercising. Let's save money. Let's stop smoking. It's about the external things. And those are all great. But you can do all of those and set all of those. And even if you kept those all year round, it's not changing who you are on the inside. And that's where I believe God wants to start with us today. This is the first day of the new year. Why don't we choose to press the restart button? For some of us, that's dialing up when we first met God. Press the restart button. We get to start today. Let's begin to look at things from God's perspective. What is it that God wants to do? He wants to transform us from the inside out, not from the outside in. And then I believe once he begins transforming us from the inside out, all of those behaviors, they'll begin to change. They'll just naturally begin to change if we let him start on the inside. Let him begin that transformation today. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through and we're going to ask God, we're going to ask him for the new you in the new year for three things. We're going to ask him for three things. But it's not all up to God. Yes, he is going to do a work in and through us. But it's also us allowing him to show us, to take inventory. So each of these, we're going to take inventory with each point, and then we're going to take action. So we have some tools in our tool belt for the new you in the new year. So number one on our outline, the first thing we're going to ask God to realign our heart. That means that our heart needs to be realigned so that it's in alignment with God's heart. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want us withering and dying, and he doesn't want parts of our heart to be cornered off. He wants all of our heart, and he wants it to be realigned with his heart. I think for the new year, the new you, I think we could be like David, and we could cry out, as we find in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me." And as we begin to pursue him through prayer, as we cry out to him these psalms, we also crack open his word. That's a Bible. Now, if you don't have a Bible yet, we'd love to give you one. If you've got a smartphone, there are free Bible apps on your phone as well. In this new year, let's crack open our Bibles. Let's cry out to God as David did. You know, David, he was actually the second king of Israel. And I'm not saying that David never messed up. You can read more about him when you crack open your Bible this year. He messed up. But you know what he did? He would turn to God. He would seek out God. He would cry out to God. Whenever he knew that his heart was not in alignment with God's heart, he would cry out to him. I believe that's what God wants us to do, starting today in this new year. To cry out to him. You know, I had the opportunity right after our first Christmas celebration, my husband and I went out to dinner with our tech director, Thomas. Now, for those of you who don't know what a tech director is, the tech director, Thomas, that means he has control over everything that happens on the weekend. Even the lights. All right, Thomas. He's got control over whatever we show up on the slides. You don't want to get him on your bad side, right? Because what did he do? Oh, Thomas, you want to keep Thomas and all of them up there on your good side because you don't know what they're going to show. We love Thomas, and we love everybody that are behind the scenes that make these weekends happen. They are the unsung heroes. But for the first time, I'd known Thomas for many years. For the first time, I got to hear his story. And he shared his story with me, his testimony. He said that, you know what, for years, I dealt with an issue. And I thought that issue, it actually defined who I was. And it was like a brick wall, he said, that I would just butt my head up again and again with this issue. And his issue was anger. You see, he had a short fuse, and it didn't take much to light that short fuse. And once that fuse was lit, then he would explode all over everybody around him. He didn't like himself. He didn't want to be that way, but he felt like there's no way he's going to ever change over and over again with his old patterns of anger. He felt like there was nothing he could do about it. And then he came here. He came here, and he decided, first he started with just choosing, I'm either going to choose this year to go on Christmas or on Easter. That's how it started. Just Christmas or Easter. So he would come every now and then throughout the year. And then he came to a point in his life where he was so tired of hitting his head up against that brick wall that he started coming more regularly. And one time he decided, you know what, I'm going to volunteer for one of the big events, but I'm only going to volunteer one time. That's all. Keep hitting his head up against a brick wall, exploding in anger everywhere he was, for everybody around him. And then God began to do something in his heart. See, the more he came, the more he realized that God was up to something. God was transforming him from the inside out. And he said when that began to happen, it was kind of like I have the picture of the Hulk. You guys know who the Hulk is? Busting through a wall. It's like God helped him bust through that brick wall of anger. And all the bricks came tumbling down. So I'm not saying that Thomas, that he never gets upset about anything. I'm not saying that at all. But he had no idea, if you would have asked him even 3 years ago, that he would be on staff. He even vowed, I would never be on staff. Now he's our tech director. And God is continuing to do something from the inside out in his heart, because what's happened now, when that rises up, that old self, those old patterns start to rise up again in him, you know what he does? He knows he has to pray it out. He prays it out. He cries out to God. He doesn't want that old self. He knows that he is a new creation, and he wants to live out his life being that new creation. So he prays it out. I think that's what God wants for all of us, for the new you in the new year. He wants to realign our heart so that our heart is in alignment with his. Now, on your outline, what you're going to see is each time that we're going to take inventory, God's going to be speaking something to you about what it is in your life. And you could write that in the box that's on your outline. Write that on the box, and then what we're going to do is we're going to have an action step, and you can write that down as well. For the new you in the new year, we can be like David, you know, and we can cry out to God. So what is God speaking to you right now? Take inventory. What is it in your heart right now? What is it in your heart that's died and needs to be resuscitated? What are those little nooks and crannies or those hidden parts of your heart that God wants to get into? What is it that has died and you want it to come alive again in this new year? Write that right now in the box on your outline. And then our action step. When we begin to realize that our heart is not in alignment with God's heart, when we begin to take note of that, and we take inventory of that, and God shows us that, then our action step is going to be to pray it out. For the new you in the new year, we're going to learn to pray it out. That means grab a Bible, crack it open in the middle, go to the Psalms, cry out like David cried out. You can cry and pray out loud the Psalms. You could start there. Pray it out. Not only does God want our heart to flourish in this new year, he also wants to recalibrate our soul. Number two on our outline, recalibrate my soul. You know, our national director of the Vineyard USA, Phil Strout, he asks a very poignant question to people that he comes in contact with. You would think that he might want to know, like, what are the numbers in your church and how many people have said yes to Jesus and things like that. But his first question is, how is your soul? How's your soul? If you were to be asked that right now, would you answer, it is well with my soul? Or perhaps if you were asked that question, maybe you'd say, you know what? My soul has grown weary, burdened. It's dry. It's barren. How would you answer that question? You know, when I start talking about soul, sometimes people kind of look at me like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about like this mystical kind of form that's not even fully formed? And no, what I'm talking about is the essence of you. It's the you that God created and knew before he ever brought you into physical form. And it's the you that will continue to exist even as your body decays. That's your soul. God wants to take your soul and he wants to recalibrate your soul. He wants to start today. See, the soul is, it's the you that is beyond any role that you might play. It's beyond any job that you might perform. It's beyond any relationship that seems to define you. Your soul, it's the part of you that longs for more of God than what you have right now. That's what your soul is. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" See, Jesus is indicating that it's possible to gain the whole world. It's possible to gain success by the world's terms and still lose your soul. I think that what we want more than anything right now is for God to recalibrate our soul. We don't want to lose our soul. We don't want our soul to become weary and dry and die. Let's let him recalibrate our soul. I liken it to having a credit card that's in your wallet, or for those of you who've done FPU and don't have credit cards, like your debit card, although we do have FPU coming, so if you haven't done that, it's coming in this new year, FPU, Financial Peace University. So it's like that credit card in your wallet. When you go to look for it, to use it, and it's missing, what do? You scramble, you get frantic, you're thinking, oh my gosh, if I don't find this, great damage is going to happen. I think that God wants that same sense of urgency when we begin to sense that our soul has become weary, has become dry. He wants us to call out to him to refill and replenish and to recalibrate our soul. That's what he wants for us. Starting today, the new you in the new year, he wants to realign our heart and to recalibrate our soul. I think that it's the more that we are looking for, that more of God that we're looking for, it's actually found when we're basking in the presence of God. You know, part of my seminary experience, one of the courses that I took, it was at a monastery. And at that monastery, it was silent. You couldn't talk. Now, how many of you could go 24 hours without talking? Anyone? A couple of you could go 24 hours without talking. It's a lot harder than it sounds. But I was able to do that. And when I did, I remember very clearly sitting on a hilltop and in that quiet stillness, I remember God speaking very loudly to me how he wanted to recalibrate my soul. See, I didn't even know that my soul had grown weary from the restlessness because I wanted to take control of. He had called me to ministry, and I was busy trying to figure out what that was, and I thought, I'm going to figure out my ministry. And he's like, Jeannie, it's not your ministry. It's my ministry, and I've got you right where I want you. Let me take control. Let me recalibrate your soul. It's in that quietness, in that stillness, that God wants to pour into us and speak loudly in this new year. For the new you in the new year. Let's let God do that. Let's take inventory right now. What in your soul has withered and needs nourished? What's God speaking to you right now about that? Because my prayer for you, as found in 3 John 1:2, is I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. So what in your soul has withered and needs nourished? What is that? Write that in the box on your outline. And then our action step as we add tools to our tool belt to be able to use in this new year, our action step for this year is to be still. Be still. Now, I'm not talking about the praying out to God. I'm not talking about cracking open your Bible and reading it. I'm not talking about, I want you to do all of those things. But when I'm talking about be still, I'm talking about silence as you bask in the presence of God. Silence. And when you do, he's going to speak loudly and he will recalibrate your soul. Number three, what we want to ask God for the new you in this new year is to renew my mind. Number three on your outline, renew my mind. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, how many of you guys would admit that our mind is probably one of the craziest things to harness, one of the hardest things to harness? Does anybody else out there that jumps on the crazy train like I do? You know, you fall into those mind traps and start thinking the same things over and over again, and usually the things that you're thinking over and over again are lies. They're not even truth. I think about King Saul. He was the first king of Israel, and how King Saul, man, he was called by God and he was anointed by God to be the first king over God's people. Man, that's pretty powerful. So you think he would be flourishing in his life? God called him. God chose him. But no. What did Paul do? Saul, what he did is jumped on the crazy train. He got caught up in that mind trap of insecurity and jealousy, and he spent the major portion of his career of being over God's people chasing David, which was the second king. You can read more about Saul and him jumping on the crazy train when you crack open your Bible. It's in 1 Samuel, in this new year, the new you. He let it spiral out of control, and he couldn't get off of that train, and he was stuck in that mind trap, and he ended up falling on his own sword at the end of his life. Because unlike David that was able to stop when he messed up and cry out to God, Saul just kept on going, kept taking matters into his own hand. Instead of crying out to God and saying, God, renew my mind. He didn't. He ended up falling on his own sword. That's not what God wants for us. The new you in the new year, he wants each of us to flourish. He wants to do all of that for us in our mind, in our soul, in our heart. That's what God wants for each of us in this new year. You know, just Friday night, the youth had a lock-in. Now, it would take a lot of guts to be the youth directors, wouldn't it? For a 7 p.m. to a 7 a.m. lock-in with a bunch of teenagers. You would think it would just be all party and fun and games. And they did have fun, but they had fun in the presence of God. And God got in there into the youth's hearts. And he began a transformational work in their heart from the inside out so that they could have a new them in the new year. And when they arrived, they were asked to write down a struggle. And throughout the night, they were able to, they took that struggle to the cross and nailed it to the cross. I think we could learn from the youth who have already started that for the new year, allowing God in, to transform them from the inside out. I think we could learn from them and allow God into our lives to transform us from the inside out. Let's take inventory. What is it about your mind? What in my mind has become distorted and needs refresh? I don't know what it is for you. What is that mind trap for you? What is it that gets you on the crazy train and you feel like you can't get off? What is it that you want to cry out to God to renew in your mind? Write that down in the box on your outline. Then our action step for the new you in the new year, our action step is going to be to replace those lies, that crazy train, that mind trap, to replace those with God's truth. Let his transformational work begin for the new you in the new year. He wants to transform us from the inside out. You know, he is passionately pursuing us. He passionately pursues us. So I think it's time for the new us in this new year to passionately pursue him. Are you guys ready for that? For the new you in the new year? To passionately pursue him? Don't you want things to be different? Don't you want to get unstuck and not be stuck like poor Joseph sitting on the table under my TV for 5 years? It's time to get unstuck. It is time for the new you in the new year. It's time for that. If you're in agreement with this, that you just want God to begin that transformational work from the inside out, to press restart right now, will you just shout out loud with me? We're going to shout out together, "Restart my life, Lord." We're going to shout that together right now. Restart my life, Lord. Bam. Yeah. Love that. We're going to sing to him, as it says, David says in the Psalms, sing to him, yes, sing his praises, tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. We're going to celebrate together. Why don't we all stand? What we're going to do is we're going to count down the new you in the new year together. We're going to do that, and then we're going to kick into a high celebratory song. But first, let's pray. If you could bow your heads. Lord, I know you are beginning a work right now. We're praying that you just come, Holy Spirit, in all your might, just come right now and wash over us. You've already started a transformational work. I just pray that you continue that right now. Let us experience you right now. God, we want to be new in this new year. We want to press restart, but we can't do it on our own. We're going to need your help. Lord, there are some here that I know that when we talked about anger, that really resonated with them, and that's become their identity. And I'm just praying that you will allow them to have that breakthrough right now. Break through that brick wall. Father, I pray that the tools that you've given us today, that we would use those in the new year, that we would seek you, that we would pray it out with you. Help us, remind us to do that. There are those here right now, Lord, that you are calling by name back to you. I'm praying for them right now, Lord, that you would just continue to nudge them. If that's you, with all heads bowed and every eye closed, will you just raise your hand? If you're ready to restart the new you in the new year and say a big yes to Jesus, will you raise your hand right now? That's awesome. God's doing a transformational work in you right now, and he wants to continue that. Will you just say this prayer with me to yourself? Jesus, I want to give you my heart, my soul, and my mind. I know I can't do it on my own. I need you. Will you take the reins of my life, restart my life right now? It is in your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now what we're going to do right now is count down the new you to the new year together. New you in the new year. If you're with me, let's count down. Ready?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Year!
1, 2, 3, 4.
with a broken heart. You picked me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash I am born again, forever safe in my Savior's hands. You are more than my words could say. I'll follow you, Lord, for all my days. Fix my eyes, follow in your way. Forever free in unending grace. Sing with me. 'Cause you are, you are, you are my freedom. We lift you higher, we lift you higher. Your love, your love, your love, never ending. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has set us free. Whoa. You are, you are my freedom. We lift you higher. You are, you are, you are my freedom. We lift you higher. We lift you higher. Your love, your love, your love, never ending. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Sing it one more time. You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has set us free. Whoa. Whoa.
This new year off today with us. I've got to tell you something. While I was preparing for this message just yesterday, my husband's like, it'd be a great idea just to take the table in because nobody's going to believe that Joseph is stuck. So, and he's like, he's testing it. Joseph is still stuck. And so I could go over there to move everything off of the table to bring it in. And as soon as I do, guess what? I kid you not. I think God is trying to tell us it's time to get unstuck in the new year. The new you in the new year. Hey, we want you to come back because we're continuing this series called Renew. So bring your friends, your family, your baker, your candlestick maker. Bring everybody next weekend.